Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. As God prepares your soul for renewing, let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song. Let's place our cares into the hands of the one who cares for us, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The opening song is Word of God Speak. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for having standards. Thank you for holding us to your standards. And thank you for having only one way to do a thing, the right way, which is one of the many benefits of righteousness. We pray that you will help us make clear to the unbelievers in our periphery the message of your graciousness, the message of your unconditional love, the message of the gospel, and the message of no way out of your laws. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name, amen. Today's study, Romans chapter 1, you are guilty as charged. Romans chapter 1, you are guilty as charged. A few announcements, no face-to-face teaching on March 9th. No face-to-face teaching on March 9th, and we will have two lessons posted. Also, we're going to try an evening Bible study on March 31st, which is a Monday. So we won't have face-to-face teaching on the 30th, but we're going to try one from 7:30 to 9:30 or 7 to 9 on Monday evening. So stay tuned for more on that. We're trying to see if we can get the hotel for that. announcement, the state of the ministry address is going to be on March 16th. And so we're going to tell you what our plans are for Barah Ministries. Another announcement, all are invited to attend our visit to the Veterans Hospital today. That's at 1:45, is that correct? And where is the hospital located, Susie? I don't know what the address is. I don't know. Anybody remember what the address is?
7th Street and Indian
School. It's 7th Street and Indian School? Okay, good. Here in Phoenix. And there is an upcoming yard sale event for Barah Ministries on Saturday, April 12, 2014. And it'll go from 6 in the morning till 3, and it'll be on our property at 573 West Guadalupe Road. That's Guadalupe and Burke in Gilbert. And so if you have any unwanted items cluttering your house and you want to donate them to a great cause, things like clothing, shoes, handbags, toys, games, sports equipment, home goods, appliances, kitchen items, furniture, electronics, pretty much anything. You can just put them out on your curb with this flyer on them. And, you know, we recommend that you lift that washing machine, put it out on the curb, and put this flyer on it. Now, I mean, you know what I'm talking about, within reason. But we'll arrange for pickup. And then make sure you stop by on Saturday, April 12th from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Visit us and see the property that we're going to be building a building on. So it should be a fun time to meet some of the neighbors and have them yell at us for our lack of effectiveness in weed control. It's going to be a good time to do some damage control with the neighbors. So I really look forward to that. And Saturday, April 12th, of course, is one day before my birthday. So if you just want to bring presents over, that would be just fine. And if you have any diamonds laying around, that would be a good deal. So anything else? Yeah.
My birthday's next week.
When's your birthday?
27th
of February? Okay, so June is also grubbing for presents. Her birthday is February 27th. And yours is when, Mike? February 28th, that's awesome. So we got birthdays coming up for all the folks. So happy birthday. All right. What?
He said, who cares?
Who said that? About your birthday? I care about your birthday. Absolutely. Today's study, you said you don't care about mine? No, I care about your birthday, Mike, I'm telling you. I also care about your money, and so let's welcome up Denny Goodall to take the offering.
Why are you giving me the big eyeball? I'm just trying to say.
On that note, good morning. I'm Deacon Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries. Even though we are sanctioned by God to charge for the many things we provide so that you can worship God, we choose not to exercise our right. Therefore, no price appears on any material from Barah Ministries so that anyone who desires biblical teaching may have it free of charge. Even though the materials are free of charge, they are not free of cost. And we appreciate it when God, the Word of God, motivates you to provide for yourself and for others with your contributions. Jeremiah 29:11 says, For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for happiness and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. As I heard this verse every week, I had always thought of it in reference to my own life, but it also refers to Barah Ministries. Think of Barah Ministries as a family. There are always going to be problems and issues within a family. The people closest to us can hurt us the most. You know, when you really care about someone, their decisions affect you. Does that mean we should give up on family and just spend the rest of our lives isolated and alone? Does that mean we should control our families with guilt and fear like religion does to millions each day? The answer to both of those questions is a definite no. We know that because of Jeremiah 29:11 and many other verses. While family and church bring some calamity at times, we know that it eventually leads to our welfare. Why? Because God says so. Ultimately, the joy that family and church bring far outweigh the temporary hurt that inevitably occur in life. Just ask my mom. I'm sure the joy of raising me canceled out any hurt that I may have caused. Can I get an amen, Mom? There's no perfect kids or perfect parents or, for that matter, perfect ministries. But when we put our confidence in the will of God, there can only be happiness. So let's support our royal family with love and treasure, because that's why we have these resources, to use them. So as you give, keep in mind as suggested in Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Thank you.
All behind, leave it all behind, leave it all behind, leave it all behind. I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, you just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more, and all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail.
So another announcement that you've probably heard already, but as you know, Denny and Emily are pregnant. Yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I don't know that you noticed, but Denny's head has been swelling at an alarming rate. And I think that has a lot to do with the pregnancy, but it's a boy. It's a boy. That's sweet. Thank God the Barah Ministry softball team needed a catcher. And wait a minute, we don't have a softball team. We better get one. Yeah, I'm about ready to get one. I'm looking forward to pulling a hamstring, so I can be like my son. So, yeah, there was that. And I just also wanted to thank Deacon Denny for his announcement, or his offering message. His messages were always fantastic, and I really appreciate him picking on his mom. She's going to be smiling for the rest of the service and swearing in her head and going back to all the times when he was an absolute terror. Is that correct? So, thanks, Denny. All right, today's study, Romans chapter 1, you are guilty as charged. Romans chapter 1, you are guilty as charged. So I have a question for you. And the question is this. This is to the resident members of Barah Ministries and to the soon-to-be resident members of Barah Ministries who live throughout the world. Grace and peace to you from our Almighty God. Thanks for coming to a place where you can hear what God the Holy Spirit has to say to the churches. So here's the question. Do you think God is like you? Do you think God is like you? Well, it should be a resounding no, because I can tell you with great certainty that he isn't. He's very different from you. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9 say this: my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. To this I say, thank God. Our God is crystal clear. He is not confused or confusing. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 confirms it. God is not a God of confusion. And so if you're confused about God, you've been confused about God by somebody, but that confusion did not come from God. Most often, that confusion comes from the enemy of God, who loves to introduce confusion into situations of clarity. God is not a God of confusion. We human beings are quite a different story. We are often confused. We're almost always confusing. And we're quite arbitrary in our approach to life. Arbitrary. That's a great word. What does it mean to be arbitrary? It means to be subject to individual whim. And you can see that, you know, operating on feelings. Subject to individual whim and without restriction. Contingent, solely upon one's own discretion. We make up our own rules. We are arbitrary. Not living to a standard. That's the surest way to have mental serenity. Just don't live to a standard. Or if you live to a standard, always be moving the stick when you find that you can't perform to it. Unrestricted by law. And another great word, capricious. In other words, we make up our own rules as we go. That's what it means to be arbitrary. And we bend them as necessary. We don't get into this state, though, solely on our own. We have quite a bit of help from the enemy of God, Satan, who attacks our thoughts to conform them and us to his way of being. He gives us expressions which we readily adopt, which pass through the English vernacular like wildfire, that attempt to excuse us from living to a standard. For example, anything in moderation. Anything in moderation. If you're fat, you have used that expression. Anything in moderation. And why would we use that when we're fat? To excuse the fact that we're about to eat the 2 donuts, right? As a matter of fact, I do that every week, except this week because Mark wasn't here. And I want to speak to him about that because a brother had a taste with some donuts this morning and we didn't get no donuts. So you got to warn people when you ain't going to be here, Mark, so we don't get our taste buds all excited for donuts. But anyway, anything in moderation. When we want to feel better about ourselves, when we're not living to a standard we want to uphold, we'll adopt one of Satan's expressions. Anything in moderation. Yet if we really think it through, is anything in moderation really okay? Is child molestation in moderation okay? Is rape in moderation okay? Is adultery in moderation okay? We'd have to say no. So we would adopt one of Paul's expressions. May it never be, right? Said another way, anything in moderation is a lie. But we adopt those lies easily to excuse us from living a standard. You see, everything is not okay. Yet all of Satan's expressions insist that everything is okay. Here's another one of his. It's all good. It's all good. No, it isn't. It isn't all good. There are some of the thoughts that occupied my mind this week as I began the overview of our next passage. When we study God's word and we learn his standards, we realize that there is keeping the law and there is breaking the law. For example, you run a red light. That's illegal. You have broken the law. And you're stopped by a police officer. You're guilty as charged. Yet often, you try to convince the police officer of how really, really sincere you are as a person and how really, really sorry you are that you ran the red light. Now, does that sincerity mean that you're not guilty? No, of course not. But what do we have to lose? We're dealing with a human being. Maybe we're dealing with a person who's arbitrary, subject to whim. And maybe we can present a convincing argument to them, which will encourage them to be arbitrary and let us off the hook. And we become successful at breaking the law. With God, no such luck. With God, No such luck. That may be the way it is in the human realm, but that is not the way it is in the divine realm. In any real justice system, and certainly in the United States justice system, you are innocent until proven guilty. But in God's system, you are guilty as charged. Why? Because God is not confused or confusing. God is omniscient. He knows all the knowable, and he knows exactly what you do every moment. From a billion years ago, he knew before you were even created exactly what you would do every moment. There is no way off the hook with God. You are guilty as charged. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none, not one creature who is righteous, not even one. Romans 3:23 says, all creatures have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God is not confused or confusing. And so Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to Romans chapter 3, verse 31 is a great indictment where our God explains in great detail through the Apostle Paul a simple truth. And the simple truth is this: in God's law, you are guilty as charged. All creatures are guilty as charged, and there is no way to talk yourself out of the indictment. I actually admire police officers who, when they stop you, don't talk to you. They come up to you and say, do you know why I stopped you? No. You were going 55 miles an hour in a 35 mile an hour zone. You see those yellow flashing lights right there? Yeah, this is a school zone. And you were going 20 miles over the speed limit, about 1 mile short of felonious speeding. Can I have your driver's license and registration, please? Boom. They go back to the bike. They write the ticket. They come back. Boom. It's over. Can we kind of converse for a second about it? No. See you in court. I kind of like those guys. That's the way God is. In God's law, you are guilty as charged. And there is no way to talk yourself out of the indictment. You know, that's why unbelievers don't want to come to Bible study. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear you're guilty. Have you ever done something where you're absolutely guilty and there's no way to weasel off the hook? See, we're used to weaseling off the hook. We're used to leaving a wet trail like a snail and, you know, have it be arbitrary, sliding back and forth. Okay, well, you know, it's not really like black and white. It's kind of gray. Slide, slide, slide. Yeah, no. You ever been guilty as charged? You ever had that warm rush feeling go through you where you know you're guilty and you know that there's no way off the hook? Raise your hand if you had that happen to you. Yeah, it's not just me, right? We have all had that happen. That's the way it is in God's plan. It's so amazing. There's no way off the hook. That's so great. In God's law, we're guilty as charged. As creatures under God, we are under God, the Creator. We are in subjection to God, and He is the governing authority of the universe. As creatures, therefore, we are under obligation to abide by God's laws. And just like in the judicial system, if you don't know the law, ignorance of the law is no excuse. If you don't know the law, you're still under the law. I got stopped by a police officer once where he had a car pulled over. And it was raining, and it was a two-lane highway that was passing by. Now, if the law says that if you can, in a situation like that, you have to move over to the other lane. I did not know that. Did not know that. And so, why didn't I know it? I don't know. I don't even, in Arizona, they give you your license till you're 90. I don't even remember the last time I took a driver's test or any of that crap. Right? So, I didn't know the law. This guy, he had a guy stopped. He pulls out the radar gun. He's waving me over. And he gets so, and I'm on the phone. I'm not even paying attention to him, right? And I'm going 65 and a 55 probably in the rain. And he just got so mad. I think he went back to the guy, gave him his license, said, "This is your lucky day. Get out of here." And he came busting out after me and pulled me over. And he was madder than a wet hornet. Why? Because I scared him. That's really scary for them when they open their door and you go whizzing by at 65 miles an hour in a rainy situation where you could easily lose control of your car. Right? I'm guilty as sin. I'm guilty. But I'm thinking, I have diffusing skills. I'm talking my way out of this. I did. I used my diffusing skill. I told him he was absolutely right. I apologized for scaring him. And I was not aware of the law, and I was, you know, I'm guilty. I'm sorry. I have no defense. He said, "I should give you a $300 ticket." I said, "You should. You should. I have no argument, sir. I just want you to know that I respect what you do for a living, and I appreciate that you stopped me." All right? He let me go. And then he followed me for about 3 miles, you know, just to intimidate me. But I was guilty. Guilty as charged. No way off the hook. He was kind enough to let me off the hook, but there's no way off the hook. And in God's program, there's no way off the hook. We are under God. We are in subjection to God. He's the governing authority. We have to abide by his laws. Now, there are only two possible responses to his laws. One is you can obey God's laws, and when you do, you receive blessing. Like when you obey the law of salvation. There is salvation in no one else, and there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved except Jesus Christ. And when you buy that, you express your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, you're saved. You receive the blessing of the Zoe life, the eternal life. Or you can disobey God's laws. You can break the law and receive a just penalty. You can reject Christ and get the wrath of God, eternal condemnation. So our next passage, Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to Romans chapter 3, verse 31, proves beyond a reasonable doubt, proves with a preponderance of the evidence that in God's law, you are guilty as charged. All creatures are guilty as charged, and there is no way to talk yourself out of the indictment. So when you read that passage again this week, and as we begin the process of going through that passage verse by verse, that's what you need to see more than anything else, that God is saying to the whole human race, don't even try it. You are guilty as charged. There is no way you're going to weasel off the hook. There is breaking the law, and there is keeping the law, and that's it. And you all broke the law. That's beautiful. Because if we all broke the law, we should go directly to jail. We should not pass go, and we should not collect $200. We should go straight to jail, just like in the game of Monopoly. But the Lord Jesus Christ, in his magnificent grace, decided that he did not want his creatures to suffer that fate. And so he went to the cross to make it a possibility that all of us could get out of jail free. And all we have to do is express faith in Christ. But that does not exonerate us from our guilt. We are still guilty, but through God's grace, he wipes out the penalty of that guilt. Amazing. And he gives us a series of blessings that are absolutely amazing. So this passage is all about unbelievers and all about all the things they do to try to wriggle off the hook, all the things that they do that where they turn progressively more negative against God, and yet they are not going to get off the hook. And what that ought to remind us of as believers in Christ is in two things. Number one, we were that way. When we were born, we were spiritually dead in our trespasses and sins. And so we can't forget where we came from. But it should also magnify in our mind the importance of us sharing the gospel message with unbelievers. Because they need to know that God has gotten them off the hook. And all they have to say is, thank you very much, I accept. But so many people have been lied to for so long by religion, by legalism, that they just can't see anymore how simple it is to believe in Christ. So the purpose of our next passage is to drive home a simple point to all of God's creatures, that our situation from physical birth is hopeless. Our situation from physical birth is helpless because we are all breakers of the law. After all, there are only two possibilities open to us under the law. One possibility is righteousness. Romans chapter 1, verse 17, for in the gospel message, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith in Christ to faith in everything, to faith in Christ for salvation, to faith in Christ for everything else. That is, as it is written, the righteous man, the believer in Christ, shall live by faith. If you want to be righteous when you have broken the law, there's only one way. And that is to let the Lord Jesus Christ give you righteousness as a free gift when you express faith in him. If we are to be righteous, all we have to do is imitate what the Lord Jesus Christ did. All we have to do is come to earth sinless, live a sinless life, and follow every law flawlessly, because all we have to do to be righteous is to be without sin. All we have to do to be righteous is to be perfect. Raise your hand if you are without sin. Raise your hand if you are perfect. Let the record show that no one raised their hand. Right? We can't do what he did. We can't come here. We didn't come here sinless. We can't live a sinless life. If we could have, we already blew it. Right? So we have no choice but to count on our righteousness as a free gift from a magnificently gracious God. And that's exactly what we're doing. And most of us who have been struggling through the prison of legalism for our whole lives have been lying to ourselves the whole time, thinking that if we felt just guilty enough, and if we beat ourselves up just enough, that that would somehow clean us up and make us righteous. Did it work? No. It doesn't work. You are guilty as charged, and you cannot wriggle off the hook. You can confess your sins from now until doomsday. You can wash yourself in water from now until doomsday. You can fast. You can do anything you want to, but it is not going to change the fact that you are guilty as charged. You can hide in any religion you want. You can be as immoral as you want, and nothing you can do to hide. And you know what? The immoral people are even better to deal with most of the time because they just know they're no good. Right? They just say it. I'm no good. Love them. They're easy. They're looking for a savior. It's those self-righteous ones we got to watch out for. Hear that clearly. If you break the law, here it is, to be righteous, you can't break the law, ever. If you want to be righteous in the eyes of our judicial system, you can't break the law. Hear that clearly. No broken law. If you break the law and don't get caught, you are still guilty of breaking the law. And see, a lot of times, In our lives, we break the law, and because the penalty that God imposes on our sins doesn't happen immediately, we think we got away with something. We didn't. You don't get away with anything in God's plan. He sees everything. He is not partial. He is everything a just compensation. If you murder someone in our judicial system and you don't get caught, it's still murder. You're still a murderer. It's still breaking the law. If we are not righteous, which is one thing you can be, then we are, if we are not righteous, we're subject to God's wrath. That's Romans 1:18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and against all unrighteousness of men, unbelievers, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. See, in our world, where Satan is the ruler, we live in a system that is set up to be arbitrary. And as people, we have been acculturated to think that we can always talk our way out of any situation, even when we're guilty as charged of breaking the law. But not so with God's law. Guilty is guilty. One of the reasons I could never succeed in a business-to-consumer environment is that consumers are always making up elaborate stories to get over on businesses. Little do they know that their stories aren't that unique. In fact, their stories are totally transparent. And customer service professionals hear the same lies over and over again from people who think that their elaborate stories, which they spent hours making up, are so appealing and so enticing that they will succeed at cheating the business out of something that is in the consumer's favor. Nordstrom's, one of my business heroes, took consumer lying completely out of play. They have a legendary return policy. They almost never contest a customer's story. You could buy a pair of shoes from Nordstrom's, wear them for a year, take them back and say that you didn't like them, and they'd give you a refund, no questions asked, with no receipt. Then they would refurbish your shoes, send them to Nordstrom's Rack or to their Last Chance outlet, sell them, and still make money. A story in the folklore of retail history alleges that a customer brought a set of snow tires back to Nordstrom's and was given a refund. Now, based on what I just told you, that might not seem so odd for a store with a legendary return policy until you realize that Nordstrom's doesn't even sell snow tires. In God's law, however, you are guilty as charged. All creatures are guilty as charged, and there is no way to talk yourself out of the indictment. Take a 5-minute break. Welcome back. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to Romans chapter 3, verse 31. Our next passage details an indictment against all creatures, including the entire human race. What is an indictment? An indictment is a formal accusation which initiates a criminal case. You know, in God's eyes, when we're born, we're criminals. And so your life is your trial. And you get a chance to prove with your life whether you are righteous or unrighteous. But you are unrighteous at birth and guilty as charged. Romans chapter 5, verse 19 says, "For as through one man, Adam's disobedience, the many, all human creatures, were considered sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the many will be made righteous." See, that's what makes this next passage so dark. What makes this next passage so dark is we're not talking about the second half of that. And so when I'm talking to you and saying to you, you are guilty as charged, if you're a believer in Christ, you should have no reaction to this except to say, you know what? Boy, isn't that awful for unbelievers. I wonder what unbelievers are in my periphery that I could give the gospel message to, because they shouldn't have to go through that. But you shouldn't have one reaction as a believer in Christ to the fact that I say you are guilty as charged. You just need to throw up your hands and say, exactly right. Just like when I was, that police officer came after me, what was I going to say to him? I didn't do anything. I was guilty as charged. He knew it. I knew it. Everybody who had been looking at it knew it. There was no way off the hook. And that's the way it is in God's plan. And so, because of our position in union with Adam at physical birth, who is the federal head of the human race, we are guilty. We are sinners. We have a sin nature. We're ungodly, unrighteous from birth. And it is impossible to be in right relationship with God if we are ungodly and unrighteous and sinners. But that does not apply to you believers in Christ. Now, for those who it applies to, unbelievers, they cannot change their situation by their works. They cannot do anything special to impress God so that it changes their situation, because once you break the law, you're unrighteous. That's it. And so Titus chapter 3, verses 3 to 7 say this: "We also, as believers in Christ, were once foolish ourselves." We were unbelievers, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our lives in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his unconditional love for mankind appeared, God the Father saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in self-righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and through renewing by the baptism of God the Holy Spirit. I'm stopping right there. I need to say that 150,000 times. I need to say that from the rooftops to all the people in religions who think they're doing something to impress God. They're doing something, and when they do something, then they can be saved. No, you can't. There is nothing an unrighteous person can do. There is nothing a guilty person can do to get themselves out of the prison of that guilt. There is only one way to be exonerated from that guilt, and that is through the free gift of a magnificent God. He saved us, and not on the basis of things we've done in self-righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration, we are born again. We go from spiritual death to spiritual life through regeneration and through renewing by the baptism of God, the Holy Spirit, where by which the Holy Spirit places us into an unbreakable union with the Lord Jesus Christ at the moment of salvation, at the moment of faith in Christ. Faith alone and Christ alone, the only way to heaven, period. That's the law. You don't get to break that law. Titus 3:6. "Whom God the Father poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior," Titus 3:7, "so that being justified by God the Father's grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That is what you are now. You are a saint. You are righteous. You are godly. You are justified. You are reconciled. You are holy. You are blameless. Not because of works, deeds that you have done in self-righteousness, but because of a gift from a magnificent God. You are justified. He walked through the halls of heaven announcing your name. And everybody in heaven knows your name. It's like Cheers. Heaven's going to be a place where everybody knows your name. Amen? Nam. Nami. For salvation, you say yes to Christ or you say no to Christ. You can keep God's law by saying yes to Christ like the jailer did during Paul's imprisonment. This is a Roman soldier who was in charge of prisoners. And if those prisoners escape on his watch, he dies. And he knows it. He signed up for it. Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 27. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors opened. Why? Because the Lord opened them. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. He knew his fate. He just decided he was going to do it himself. He wasn't going to wait. Acts 16, 28. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying to the jailer, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." Paul did not leave the cell when he could have, because he knew through divine revelation that the jailer would have killed himself. And he waited. Acts 16, 29, and the jailer called, turned on the lights, rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Acts 16, 30, and after he brought them out of the prison, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes." What a magnificent God we have. That even though we're guilty, he gave us the way out of prison. This is the law, God's law. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And you can respond actively by doing something, and that is expressing your faith in Christ. You can respond passively by doing nothing. Both are responses, but being saved requires a positive and active response. It requires you to follow God's law. And if you don't, how can you escape? If you don't follow law, God's law, if you don't take the free gift, how can you escape? Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 3 say you can't. Why? Because you are guilty as charged. Here's what it says. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, for this reason, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the sovereign judge and the victor in the creator-creature conflict, all of the things that were being said in Hebrews chapter 1. We believers in Christ must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, the gospel message, so that we don't drift away from it. And that's what's easy to do for Christians, sitting on your butt and drifting away from the gospel message and forgetting to share it with other people. Hebrews 2:2, for if the word, the law, spoken through angels proved unalterable, and it did, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, and it did, then how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The answer is, we won't. You cannot break God's law and get away with it. You cannot change God's law. You are under it. And if you make up your own laws to give yourself pseudo-satisfaction, it does not change God's law, and you are still subject to it. That's what we'll be seeing in the upcoming passage of Romans. You are guilty as charged, and there is no way to talk yourself out of this one. You will have to abide in your choice. What does it mean to abide? It's the Greek word meno. It means to stay in a given place. It means an active sharing of life. It means an active sharing of death. It means to remain in. It means to dwell in. God gives us a choice to abide in him, which is an active sharing of his resurrection life. John chapter 15, verse 5 says this, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me, he who takes part in an active sharing in my life, because we're in union with Christ, a believer in Christ, he who abides in me and I indwelling him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, unbelievers, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. God gives us a choice to reject him, which means we can abide in an active sharing of death, not with him, but with like-minded rejectors of him. John chapter 3, verse 36, he who believes in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has the Zoe life, the eternal life at that moment. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the Zoe life. But the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him. How does God make his law known to us? Because you hear the lie. Yeah, but what about the people who didn't know about Jesus Christ? There are no such people. There aren't any. Romans 1:20 says this, since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood, even through what has been made, the whole created universe, so that unbelievers are without excuse. Design demands a designer. The Big Bang Theory attempts to make a creator irrelevant and superfluous. Okay, let's assume that the universe just got here by a big random bang. All right, but now, who holds the universe together? Why don't the stars collide? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 tells us why. The Lord Jesus Christ is the radiance of God the Father's glory. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the exact representation of God the Father's nature. And the Lord Jesus Christ upholds all things by the word of his power. That's why stars don't collide. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You're an amazing God. We'll learn in the upcoming weeks that all creatures have a duty from which they cannot escape. What is a duty? It is a binding obligation by virtue of being placed in a position, and it is expressed as respect for the placement. There is no excuse for breaking the law. There is no being who is excused from breaking the law. The duty of all creatures is to worship and to serve the Creator. Yet you have a choice. And we'll investigate in the next passage the choices of unbelievers and the penalty of their error. Romans chapter 1, verse 25 says this, unbelievers exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. I look forward to the day when I am absent from the body and face to face with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I look forward to meeting my God. And when he asks me whatever question he asks me, such as, how'd you do with the life I gave you? It's going to be easy for me. I already had the experience when I got pulled over by that police officer because I drove by him a little too fast and scared him. I just tell him, hey, man, I have no excuses for anything. I am guilty as charged. And were it not for your magnificent grace, I would be nothing. And that day, the chance to just say that to him is going to be so exciting for me. I am nothing without you. I have no words to express to you. You tell me what you want me to do. I'm yours. Have been since I was 8 years old. I'm yours. That's it. Fasten your seatbelts. The next passage will be quite a ride. Closing verses. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your happiness and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Our closing song, We Are Royalty.
The moment we believe in Christ, we're royal priests by name. Brand new spiritual species, the spirit sealing remains. Our God sanctifies us. Yes, we've been set apart because of God's awesome plan. Royalty thou art. We're God's royalty, called to live in dignity, in transparency, for all the world to see. We are God's royalty. One day co-heirs with him, blessed with spiritual blessings. He calls us his friend. No one can separate us from our union with Christ. The cross elevates us to a royal. In transparency for
next June. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for being so crystal clear. Thank you for being digital in your approach to us, ones and zeros, yes and no, with no gray. Now I pray that you continue to use the people in this ministry to spread your gospel message to every person in our periphery, one person at a time, and then to let the chips fall where they may, because we know that you will do everything you possibly can to make sure that none of your creatures perish and that all of them come to a change of mind about Christ. And so we ask for your continued blessings, your continued guidance, your control of our health, and your flow of blessings, the blessings of adversity and prosperity, and help us to have the mentality to deal with them both equally with contentment. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.